Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Hey, we are in week four, the final week of our Vision Month campaign. And earlier this month, Pastor Alan Jessen revealed the banner over this year, which is what? A great harvest. A great harvest. From October last year through to January of this year, I was on long service leave. And I had the most amazing time, one of the best things I've ever done, taking the time to rest, reflect, shave my head, soul search, and have a whole lot of fun was just incredibly life-giving. But after being away for so long, 14 weeks to be precise, there was lots to catch up on. So when I first heard those words, a great harvest, which was later than I usually would, something inside my spirit leapt. And I don't know if it's the worshiper in me, the worship leader or songwriter in me, but I've always believed there is a close connection between worship and revival. That revival rides on the wings of worship. Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now, Jesus is referring to the cross, to his crucifixion here and what that means for humanity. But we live on the other side of that. We don't worship a crucified Jesus. We worship a resurrected one. And as we worship, as we sing, as we live our lives in step with the Holy Spirit, as we share the good news of the gospel, God is at work in our city. God is at work in our world. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And so as we bring this campaign to a close today, while the banner, A Great Harvest, stays, I want to look at John 4, and we're going to pick it up at verse 31 here this morning. And a lot of us would be familiar with the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. I was very excited at first glance because John 4 would have to be one of the most famous passages of Scripture on worship. The time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. However, that is not the focus today. And this morning we are going to be looking at Jesus's reaction and what happens after his encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well. And just to give it context, the Samaritan woman encounters Jesus, her life is forever changed. And what happens on the other side of that is many more Samaritan lives are changed. And so it says this in verse 31, John 4. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? So the disciples are confused here. Did Jesus get a cheeky Chico roll at 7-Eleven on the way to dinner tonight? Has he already eaten? And Jesus says to them this, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. When the disciples offer Jesus food, what is Jesus' response? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus compared his obedience to God's will to physical nourishment. Just as food sustains the body, fulfilling God's purpose nourished Jesus. This shows that his deepest satisfaction came from aligning his life with the Father's mission, not from physical needs or desires. Jesus makes it clear to the disciples that his heart and soul are full after his encounter with the Samaritan woman. There is a sense of meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. When we too fulfill the word of God, the will of God. Let me say that again. There's a sense of meaning, purpose, and fulfillment when we too fulfill the will of God. Have you ever asked, what is the will of God for my life? Have you ever asked that? The term calling is a word we would often give to God's plan and purpose for our life. And I love Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And in this room, you know, would be different giftings, skill sets, talents that each of us have. There would be quite a number of different careers, jobs, things that each of us would do in our Monday to Friday, in our 9 to 5. But one thing we have all been commissioned in, and this is really the heart of what this campaign is all about, is go into all the world and make disciples. Then verse 35 says this, "Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." Another translation of the passage or the bit, "the fields are white for harvest," says the harvest is ready. The question I want to ask you today, myself included in this, is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And for time's sake, we're going to skip to verse 39, John 4. It says this, "Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony." I'm just going to pull it up right there. And can I say this, that you don't have to have been drug addicted, in and out of prison, have found Jesus along the way, to have a testimony. As important as powerful as those testimonies are, my story is this. I grew up in a Christian family, went to a Christian school, been to church most, if not all, of my life, and I'm still here today. And there's obviously more to it than just that. But the point is this, we've all got a story to tell. Because your story's not about your story anyway. Your story's about what Jesus has done in your life. So whether you've been drug addicted, in and out of prison, found Jesus along the way, or like me, been in church your whole life, or maybe you fall somewhere in between, we've all got a story to share. We've all got a testimony. We've all got good news to share. Verse 39 says this, "He told me everything I ever did." This is a Samaritan woman speaking. Verse 40, "So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, 'We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.'" While the disciples were focused on the temporal situation of food, Jesus knew that something big was about to go down, that something big was about to happen. Jesus knew that the encounter with the Samaritan woman was about to become a great harvest of Samaritans coming to meet with Jesus. The harvest is ready. The question is, are you? Are we together as a church ready? Both Kaylee and I grew up in Christian families, went to Christian schools. For most of our life, if not all, have been in church throughout our teenage years. We went to youth group every Friday night. Throughout our 20s, we were leaders in our youth and young adults ministry. I've now just entered into my 16th year. I'm on staff here at church. For a lot of that, Kaylee and I have both been pastors. So just purely practically speaking, most of the people in our world are like-minded people, are Christians, until our kids started at the local public school, where now almost every day of our lives, whether it's school drop-offs, pickups, parent-teacher interviews, different school functions and events, play dates, weekend sport. I coach my son Taylor's football team and have so for the last, 5 years. And some of the families we've gotten to know over the last 7 or so years have become really, really good friends of ours. And people who know us know we're Christians. They know we work for the church. They know I've been involved in music and producing albums here. I've been Googled a number of times. I had someone say once, I found your church on YouTube with you singing at a concert called Presence Conference. And people don't fully understand, what we do. But to be able to talk about our faith, to be unashamed in what we believe, to love people, and I pray that Kaylee and I, we do that well. Who knows what seeds are being sowed? Now, our kids have brought a number of their friends from school here at church. A number of those families have also come. A little while ago, I was at a lunch, and there was about 20 of us, and Kelly and I were the only Christians at this lunch. All the ladies were on one table, all the blokes on another table, and I got asked some doozies, Pastor Mark. I got asked some questions to do with my faith. About a topic that would be highly, highly inappropriate for me to share the details of. But to be able to sit there and being secure in my faith and unashamed in what I believe and to be able to talk and be able to answer those questions. And I just love the fact that they're willing to go there and would ask such things, even despite the topic of conversation. Towards the end of last year, I had an old worship leader friend call me up, and this is someone who I've known for about 20 years, and they're an incredibly gifted, talented musician. They've had lots of success in the music industry, and many years ago with his wife at the time, they were a part of a church plant, and long story short, sadly their marriage fell apart and he ended up walking away from the Lord. And towards the end of last year, he called me up and said, "Hey, look, I'm going to be in Sydney. I'd love to come see you. I'd love to come stay with you. And can I come to church with you?" And so this is someone, and I forgot to say, this is someone that throughout all of that, I've just stayed connected with. And I know sometimes situations and circumstances around such things can be tricky and tough, but really important that we stay connected. Because who knows what God is doing in someone's heart and in someone's life. And so we just stay connected. And so he called me up, "Hey, can I come see you? Can I come stay with you? Can I come to church with you?" And so we teed that up and we organized that, and he came to a 6 p.m. service here. We went and got dinner afterwards, and then went back to my house, where we sat on the couch, and just talked about life, talked about God, talked about faith. He went into a few more details to do with his journey there, and it got to 1 a.m. in the morning, and he said to me, "Hey, I think I need to get my life right with God." And I said, "Well, yeah, let's do this, bro." And what's funny, I went to lead him in the salvation prayer, like kind of like we do here at church. You know, "Jesus, here I am. I invite you into my heart." And he kind of cut me off at about that point, and he said, "Hey, Dan, look, I you know, it's been a long time since I've been in church, but I remember how the prayer goes." And so at 1 a.m. in the morning, sitting on the couch in our home, it was one of the most just beautiful things to be a part of. He remembered and he recited the salvation prayer and invited Jesus, or rededicated his life back to the Lord. And he messages me, you know, "I'm in church this morning," and there's a church in his state and city that he's been going to. And look, he's very much so on a journey, but God's doing something in his life nonetheless. One more story. And this is a bit of a throwback, okay? And I actually forgotten about this story, but as I was preparing for this morning, I was reminded of this story, and I actually believe that we're going to hear more stories like this this year. And just to give it some context, in my late teens, early 20s, I played in a punk rock band, and long story short, I gave it up. I went to Bible college, and this is like well over 20 years ago, and I just got on fire for God, and just got on fire for God, and I started writing songs for our youth ministry at the time, and we just saw God do some amazing, amazing things. People tell me I'm quite a passionate worship leader. I was in New Zealand a little while ago, and I think it was Dean Rush. He introduced me. He said, "Hey, this is Dan. He has a spirit of enthusiasm. He's going to come and lead us in worship tonight." And I just was on fire for God. And I'd like to think that same passion, whether it's on a platform or off a platform, just in my day to day, is the same passion. And I'd like to think that I'm just as passionate and on fire for God today than I was 20 years ago. And so I was on fire for God in my early 20s, still am today. And one night after church, there was a group of us that went out for dinner in DY. And if I'm honest with you, I've never had anything like this happen to me again. But like I said, I believe this year we're going to hear more stories like this. But I was sitting in DY having dinner with some pals, with some friends after church, and this lady from out of nowhere just came up to me and said, "Hey, you and your friends look like good people." I don't know how she came to that conclusion, but no word of a lie, these were her words. "Hey, you and your friends look like good people. My younger brother, he's just moved from New Zealand to Sydney. He knows no one. He's got no friends." And these were her exact words. "Would you be his friend?" Like, who does that? Like, who goes up to a complete stranger in a restaurant and on behalf of someone says, "Hey, like, can you be this person's friend?" I remember in high school, you know, you get invited to a party, and my mum was that mum that would call the other kids' parents to suss out the party. You know, is there going to be alcohol at the party? Are there going to be girls at the party? Like, "Mum, the party's for a girl. Of course there's going to be girls." I was going somewhere with that, but I can't remember. Oh yes, this lady at the restaurant, on behalf of her younger brother. "Hey, you and your friends, you look like good people. My younger brother's just moved from New Zealand to Sydney, doesn't know anyone, doesn't have any friends here. Would you be his friend?" And I said, "Of course I'll be his friend." And so we connected. that next week I brought him to church, and guess what? He gave his life to the Lord. He joined my Connect group and has since moved back to New Zealand. We've sadly fallen out of touch. It was the days before social media existed, although MySpace may have been around at that time. But I was reminded of that story, and I believe this year we're gonna hear more stories like that. That there's something about you. There's just something about you. Us as a church, us as a people, that people are drawn to, that people wanna know more about. And so whether it's a name we wrote on our Great Harvest card, or a story like that one we just heard, we as a church are stepping into a great harvest. We got to get ready. We got to get ready. Why? Because the harvest is ready. There's no issue with the harvest. Are we ready? Are you ready? Can I have the worship team join me? I just love God. I love God. I love people. I love God. I love people. God's two greatest commandments: love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The second is like it: love your neighbor, love others. I want us to look at 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23 to 27 here as we come to a close. And it's our scripture for this year as a church. It's the scripture we're connecting to the banner over this year, a great harvest. It says this, 1 Chronicles 16, 23 to 27. Sing to God, everyone and everything. There it is, worship. It's the very first thing it says. Sing to God, everyone and everything. Get out his salvation news every day. Publish his glory among the godless nations, his wonders to all races and religions. And why? Because God is great. Well worth praising. No god or goddess comes close in honor. All the popular gods are stuff and nonsense. I love how Eugene Peterson puts it. But God made, it's my favorite word in this whole passage of scripture, the cosmos. Splendor and majesty flow out of him. Strength and joy fill this place. What is the salvation news? And you might be here this morning. Maybe it's your first time in a church service like this. What is this salvation news? What is the good news? It's this, that God loves you. Sin separates us from God, but God sent his son Jesus to die for us, to die for you, to bridge that gap so you could have eternal life. How amazing. Can I just have every eye closed, every head bowed here? And there's one or two more things we're going to do after this. We're going to pray together as a church and pray for the city of Sydney, that we would see a great harvest, in particular in the northern beaches of Sydney. And I know there's people in all our worlds that we could pray for, that we're going to believe together, that are going to come to Christ.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.